Hello, and welcome to Friends for Life, a podcast of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's National Mission. We're here to come alongside you as we journey through life under the cross. What does it look like to care for our neighbors in body and soul? How do we tend to our own body and soul? How can we speak up for life? And finally, how do we share the faith with the next generation? Join us as we have these conversations and learn together. We hope you'll stick around and be our friends for life.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Steph Neugebauer, here with my co-host for this season, Reverend Andy Becker, and our guest today is Reverend Dr. Todd Bierman. Dr. Bierman, welcome. Would you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Certainly. It's a joy to be with you today. I am the Executive Director of Concordia Center for the Family, CCF for short. I'll refer to it that way just as a brief way. But I've been with CCF helping out for a number of years, about 15 years I've been helping out, but been the executive director since beginning of 2024, and was called into that position out of parish ministry. I served in parishes of the LCMS for 33 years in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, Parma, Ohio, and then Grand Blanc, Michigan. And enjoyed parish ministry, but took this demotion to executive director of an RSO when I felt compelled that there was a need for what this is doing, CCF is doing in our LCMS and the world beyond. I have a wife, Heather, who supports me in this and has traveled all over with me and love doing ministry with her. Especially, we've led married seminars throughout the world working with various organizations and especially the LCMS. And I also have two children, a daughter, Hannah, who is a director of family life ministry at her church in Springfield, Missouri, and my son, Micah, who went through Concordia Ann Arbor and is now a computer software developer. And they're both married and good marriages and thankful for that. And also, I have one grandson who is a year and a half and another one due in July. So that's my family that keeps me connected to families and the importance of growing in faith in the family every day. So there you go.
So your passion for family ministry is literally bearing fruit in your own family.
Absolutely, in many ways. True. Yes. Fruit of the womb and in other ways too.
Congratulations to you. Dr. Bierman, you've been involved in CCF for about 15 years, you said, but I can imagine that even before then you had an interest and a passion and a joy for ministry within the home, family ministry, caring for families. Tell us about that. When did you first realize that working with families and equipping families was so important?
Well, it's a good question because it really traces back to my own household growing up. My dad was an LCMS pastor, and he lived faith, which was so important to me. It wasn't just something he did on Sunday and spoke from the pulpit, but he and my mom, they lived faith every day in the home. We talked about faith over meals, and that really got me interested to see how important the family is. And reading God's word, I saw that marriage and family were central to God's order of creation prior to the fall. It was there with Adam and Eve, the way God designed it, that marriage and family is central. And then as I studied that further in my college and seminary years, I really grew in my passion for seeing the importance of marriage, especially as I understood better the imagery all through Scripture of Christ and his bride, the church. And the way Christ loves us as the perfect husband to his perfect bride, that he is redeemed by his blood. That imagery of marriage that Christ portrays, and then how marriages here between man and wife are supposed to reflect that same love of Christ to his bride. That grew in my understanding, and when I was doing my Doctor of Ministry studies at Concordia Theological Seminary back in 2012, I finished that, and a big part of my understanding that grew there was how important this marriage and family concept is to all of life. And if you can have a worldview that's shaped by marriage the way God intended and family the way he intended it, it really does impact every relationship every day, not just on Sunday or not just when you're getting ready to get married, but through all of life. And so that really came out of a deepening understanding in my DMIN studies. And now through parish ministry, I saw the importance of having faith shaped in the home in partnership with what's going on in the congregation. And that's where that understanding grew, especially if we want to get people in faith to eternal life in heaven. That's the ultimate goal, how important marriage and family is to the salvation of souls. When you understand marriage as Christ intended it, you're understanding his love for us, which leads us to salvation in his name by grace as his gift. And that's what I really am passionate about, marriage and family, because it leads to eternal salvation when we really understand it.
Andy and I have talked about how family ministry, of course, is for homes where there's husband and wife and children, but it also includes those who are single, those who are widowed, those who are elderly. You mentioned marriage, of course, as being a vital part of God's design for creation. Why does marriage matter in family ministry, even for those people we're including in family ministry who are single?
Well, it is that picture of Christ, as I said, and understanding the key elements that make for strong relationships. Even for a single person, if they are to have relationships that are built on Christian principles and Christian love, they are concepts that are shaped by Christ and the way he loves us. Christ was never married to a human being, and yet he displayed the images of what perfect love is. And a single person today can still practice those same qualities of perfect love. And they really come out in what he teaches about love that is marked by sacrifice and commitment and a certain level of incarnational relationship where there's the in the flesh part of it. Those elements are true in any relationship, even if you're not in a marriage to a person here on earth. You can learn it from looking at Christ and his bride. You can learn it from watching a Christian couple, the way they live. But even single people are to live in that same sort of love in their relationships with others. Every one of us is related to somebody. You have to come from a mother's womb, which makes you related to that mother. Even if she's not living, you start in that relationship. You're related to others by biological connection and spiritual connection and just social connection. In all of those relationships that we all have, it's the love of Christ that he shows to us as the perfect husband that we are able to show in those relationships and have deep, enduring relationships that guide us on the way to eternity.
So you have now been the executive director of Concordia Center for the Family for almost 2 years now. Is that correct, Todd?
Yeah, year and a half officially.
A half? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for our listeners that don't know what CCF is, can you kind of unpack that a little bit? What is the Concordia Center for the Family? What's its mission? What are some of the key activities that you all are involved with?
Well, CCF, Concordia Center for the Family, is an RSO, Recognized Service Organization, of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So I try to get away from the little short acronyms, but it says it quickly to Lutheran folks. And as an RSO, we are very much in line with the doctrine and practice of the LCMS. We try to support what's going on in our greater synod. And what we do is focus especially in the area of family discipleship, which is something that is important as we're talking about this topic in this podcast. And family discipleship of having Christ's gifts that nurture faith in the partnership of homes and congregations. That's what we're all about at CCF. In fact, our specific mission statement that we live by is uniting homes and congregations in making lifelong disciples of Jesus. So it's that unity of the homes and the congregation that they're part of that both work together to help disciples grow throughout the lifetime, every day, throughout a lifetime. And that is disciples of every age and every home. As you said, Stephanie, before, it is not just mom and dad with little kids. Every home has a family of some sort in it. Even a single person is that family in that home. And they are to live in a way that is growing in faith every day. And it happens when there's support from the Christian congregation and also when that faith gets carried into the home 24/7. Where what we learn in church gatherings, in Bible study, in worship, we then take home with us and talk about as we rise up, as we lie down, as we walk along the way every day, as we hear from Deuteronomy 6. It's that concept of growing in faith every day in the home with the support and growth that goes on in the congregation. Both are essential, and so that's what CCF is really focused on, is that unity of the congregation and the home together so that faith grows throughout a lifetime, from womb to tomb, and that those who know of Christ through his word and sacrament will grow in Christ, carrying on that word into the home.
Todd, you're definitely passionate about this topic, aren't you?
Just slightly.
Yeah. So what's some of the activity, what's some of the things that CCF does then to help congregations and homes partner together?
Really what our focus is on training what we call family discipleship facilitators. That is church workers, leaders of congregation ministry. It can be lay, commissioned, called. Whoever has been tasked in a congregation to spearhead ministry with families. But we really especially want the pastors and senior pastors of congregations, because they're the ones who can shape the whole ministry of the congregation. And these are the folks then that we desire to bring in to learn how to take the whole ministry of a congregation and move it in the family discipleship direction. So it's not a matter of throwing out your current ministry, but taking the ministry you're already doing and shifting it in a direction towards family discipleship. And you do that by not just a whole-fledged throwing out everything, as I said, but instead taking what you're already doing and just tweaking it a little bit so that you can think, how can this be taken into the home? So that in a sermon, the pastor preaches a sermon, a fine sermon of long gospel based on God's word, but he also throws in a little bit, now, mom and dad, when you talk about this at home, or dad, when you're talking about your stepkids, talking to your stepkids when you have them next weekend, talk about this little thing and ask them about this. Or grandma and grandpa, when you have the grandkids on Zoom with you this week, why don't you ask them this question that relates to this message? So those little adjustments you can make into all of life that help you think in this way of how are we shaping our faith every day. That's what we're really trying to do, is to train those facilitators to help spur that kind of growth. So the facilitators is the first thing. We offer that training in various venues around the country. We also then have resources to support those who are trained. And one of the key resources we have is a tool called the Faith and Life Survey. And it's a survey tool that congregations can use to self-assess, where all adults in the congregation, young adults all the way through seniors, they take a inventory that will then answer questions of how they are growing as disciples every day. And it will then give feedback to the congregation, to the leaders, a summary report that will help the leaders to see how well they're doing with serving the needs of the families, where they're doing well, where they can improve. And it also gives extensive material that can be shared with the whole congregation to help them see how we're doing. What are we doing well? What are we not doing so well? What can we improve on? And with that help of that survey, then to take that and guide the facilitators who've been trained in family discipleship to know where to go next to better improve the growth of their families and their congregation. And it also then directs towards other resources that CCF has available and that we connect to throughout our synod circles that can help those families grow and the congregations grow. Those resources we especially provide also on our website, which is the third thing I'd mention. We train facilitators, we provide resources such as our survey, and we have the website where there are a list of a lot of resources that you can go to that we provide and that we connect to others who provide good resources, such as Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and great things coming out of the Office of National Missions, to our higher education system, to the COS. Great resources coming from a lot of our partners there. And so we link to the greatest things that are out there so that you don't have to spend time looking everywhere to find them, but you can find them through our clearinghouse on our website. So that's what CCF tries to do especially.
Hey, while we're talking about that, Todd, can you just give us the address for the website so people can find that easily?
Sure. You can remember our name, ConcordiaCenterForTheFamily.org. So it's ConcordiaCenterForTheFamily.org. Or even if you forget the whole name, just ConcordiaFamily.org will take you to the same place. So ConcordiaFamily.org, that works well.
Todd, what does training look like for facilitators?
The training for our CCF facilitators right now is trying to streamline it as much as possible. There's so much material we could go through, but we're trying to keep it short because we know our church workers are overwhelmed with time being a short commodity. So in about 3 days, a half day plus 2 full days, we provide a basic understanding of the biblical foundation behind family discipleship, looking at this concept as it's laid out all through Scripture, Old Testament through New. It's there all through that God has intended for homes to be essentially involved in the growth of family discipleship. And so we go to the biblical foundation. We then look at how congregations can shift into the direction of helping families grow in faith every day to get that shift in approach to ministry. And so that's the second main topic we cover, is the shift. Then the third part is tweaks that you can make to move in that direction of the shift. And tweaks are a little adjustments to everything you're already doing, whether it's in evangelism, stewardship, sermons, Sunday school, to tweak those things you're already doing so that they do have this home component, this home aspect to them. So the tweaks in ministry, and that involves a lot of sharing. In our training, we do a lot of networking. You gather up with other people who have the same mindset as you, and then you share ideas with one another, and you get an accountability team. And so we ask every participant to go away with at least two accountability partners who will help them stay on track with this. The fourth and final part of our training is also looking at the cultural context that we are in today and in your own location. The trends that are against us. Right now, we've got a world that has a lot of forces that are against the Christian concepts, especially in relationships. And so to be aware of those, not to be in fear of them, but to be aware of them so you can address them in a godly manner. And also to be alert to the different dynamics of culture around you, whether that's ethnicities that are involved around you, different ethnic backgrounds, or just different cultural representations, whether you're Southwest Missouri hillbilly, like where I live now in Southwest Missouri, or you're from the coastal regions of our country, or whatever it is. You need to be alert to the different influences on families that are garnered by your culture. And so the cultural context is an important concept too. So all of those key things we cover in the basic training for facilitators, and we send everyone who takes part in our training away with two action plans. So you don't have to go home and say, what do I do with this now? Or I get stuck on the shelf and I forget about it. Instead, I go home ready to hit the ground running with an action plan for my congregation that is a four-year plan of what I'm going to try to do over the next 4 years to shift in this direction. And for myself personally, because it starts with me in my own home. If I'm not living this myself, I can't teach it authentically to others with integrity. So I have my own action plan of how I will live out family discipleship in my own household, starting with me personally, with my spouse if I'm married, with my own children in my own household. So the personal action plan and your congregational action plan, that's a key heart to our training. And with that action plan, then transition can really take place. We can see some change in ministry.
So I know there's a lot of thought that's gone into that training for sure, and just was able to experience that as well. So it's a blessing personally, like you talked about with those personal action plans, but also for our congregations to be able to experience that and have those plans that are there. One of the things you said that was talked about the training is the shift, and I noticed that you even as you were talking about family discipleship in general and working with families, you didn't say ministry to families, you said ministry with families for this family discipleship. So I'm assuming that was intentional too, as you were talking.
Absolutely. Yeah. If it's not a partnership, then it's not going to be effective. If people feel like they're just being spoken to or told what to do, it's not going to be very impactful. But if they see how they are partners in this job that God has given, the vocation they have been given by the Lord to shape the faith of the generations around them, the next generations, but also older generations. The care of adults for their aging parents is a huge part of family ministry, family discipleship. And so we have to think out of the box of just parents to kids and just congregation taking care of it all. That was a mindset that was defeatist to our success as the LCMS in the past. I, as a pastor in the parish for 33 years, saw a lot of that mindset where parents would say, the church's job is to make my kids into good Christians. I just drop them off and I don't have to worry about it. That does not work. As children who are brought up in an environment like that will go home and say, it's not that important to my parents. They don't really care about it. They don't live it themselves. So why should I care? Doesn't matter what that pastor or youth worker said. My parents don't care. So as soon as I'm done, as soon as I'm confirmed, I'm done. I'm out of here. And I'm graduated, so I'll be out of here. And that's what happens. And so to keep that from happening, we have parents who are authentically engaged, grandparents who are authentically engaged. As statistics have shown across the board, children tend to stick with those things that are iterated to them by up to five adults. who they respect in their life. When they have those other adults that they can look up to who are saying the same thing and living it themselves, they're more likely to follow that. So when parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, church leaders, members of their church who they look up to, all talk about their faith and live it 24/7, those youth, those children, are likely to catch it and want to do it themselves and grow in faith themselves 24/7. So that's what we're trying to instigate.
Awesome. Todd, you mentioned in your introduction that you and your wife, Heather, have led marriage events for a long time. And so I know one of the things you talk about in those is the relationship triangle. And I think you already referenced it, not by that name, but I think you talked about that just a little bit earlier.
You caught that, did you?
I did. Can you unpack that just a little bit for us? Sure. And how that's helpful, not just for couples, but for all relationships like you were talking about earlier?
Yeah, this flowed out of my early study, especially I read the book by Walter Trobisch, I Married You. Great book by Trobisch, foundational. My brother Joel Bierman recommended when I was thinking about getting married that I read that book, and it was very helpful. But I went a little bit step further from what Trobisch wrote and really Lutheranized it to pull in aspects that he taught, that love is taught by Ephesians 5:31, which goes back to Matthew 19:5, which goes back to Genesis 2:24. All three places in Scripture and creation's history were the same teaching on marriage that God gave to us. A man will leave his mother and father, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Of course, in Ephesians 5:32, it points out that this is what Christ shows to the church. So what is that all about? It's so important. It was there at creation, redemption, and inspiration by the Holy Spirit. All three are saying the same thing. What is it? It's a love that is leaving mother and father. That's sacrificial. It's not about me. I'm self-sacrificing my own wants, desires to care for another. And hold fast to wife. That is unconditional commitment. So it has to be this unconditional aspect to love, that you do it, you make a choice to love, even when you don't like the person, even when they're not making you happy, even when they hurt you, that unconditional commitment. And then the two become one flesh, that pulls out the third part of the triangle, which is incarnational love in the flesh, which there is a degree of in any relationship if it's going to grow. We're in a technical world where you can be online and see people. That doesn't really build a strong relationship. There has to be face-to-face with people, eating together, walking together, that incarnational part. And so when you have those three elements in balance with an equilateral triangle, each of those at the point of a triangle, sacrificial love, unconditional love, and incarnational love, that's a balanced love that is in the way that Christ taught it and lived it, and that leads to strong marriages and strong relationships in God's way. It may be a small triangle in just a new relationship, but it grows to the perfect triangle when it's united as husband and wife in marriage. Of course, we slip and fall, and that's why at the center of every good triangle is the cross of Jesus Christ, wherein we receive forgiveness even when we fall, and we receive renewal to rebuild our triangles that have fallen and to have love in His way.
In addition to the relationship triangle, you also have another way that you teach in your training, if I understand it correctly, something to do with fingers and a thumb. Tell us about that.
Thumbs up. Yep. Thumbs up for Christ. And it is an illustration that developed, especially when I was working internationally, Guatemala, Paraguay, Peru, all through Central and South America, and then in Africa, Ethiopia and South Africa. I found that this was a concept that translated very well across cultures and across language barriers and works well here in the States as well. Even with my preschoolers, I would teach this in my church. And so you take your hand and reach it out in front of you like you're going to shake someone's hand, and you naturally have your thumb pointing up in the air. That thumb up in the air reminds us Christ has to be our number one relationship. I put Him first in all things, and He loves me and forgives me. I am the palm of the hand, and so His love covers me. Your thumb can reach down and cover the palm of your hand. That's how He covers me with His grace, His forgiveness, His love. And then as I have received His love, I can show it to the people in my life, which are represented by my four fingers. Number one relationship is spouse. That's what Jesus taught me when He said, a man will leave his mother and father and hold fast to his wife. That spousal relationship is the number one after that with Christ. And that's where we live out Christ and His bride imagery in the world. So number one is spouse. And then leaving mother and father, so it's talking about the children and the parents, that they come next because they are that foundational part of our society as well and the way God created families. So that's the second finger is children, parents, others you're related to by biology or marriage. And so Those are the second ones is family. Then the third finger is your church family. Not that church isn't important, but you have to have strong home relationships so that then you can contribute to a strong congregational relationship where you unite with other Christian families. You support them. They support you. You grow as a body of Christ. And we're supposed to do good to all, especially to the household of faith. And that's where that church family comes in the third finger. And when you get those all in order like they should be, then that pinky finger is still there and it sticks out and it has to stick out. You want it to be out because that represents everyone else in the world. And we're to reach out to everyone around us with that same love of Christ and to be witnesses to them. And when we have the top priorities in place with Christ on top, spouse, children, family, church family in their proper place, we will have love that will flow to the world around us. To children, to family, to neighbors, to friends, to co-workers, and we can reach out with the love of Christ with an open hand and say, let me tell you about the love of Christ and hand out life to them. That's what I summarize in my book that I developed through my DMIN work called Handing Out Life, and it really focuses on these concepts.
Great. So, Todd, as we've been talking today, and we're talking about the partnership between homes and congregations, if you were to give congregations encouragement to do one thing to help families, what would that be?
That's a great question, Andy. I really appreciate you asking that. I would say is just to shift your thinking in everything you do. Not trying to find the silver bullet that if we do this one thing, this one new program, this one new activity, it'll fix it all. No, it's a shift in mindset that everything we do, how can this go into the home? How can we help parents take this home? How can we help children live in their faith at home? Give children questions to ask mom and dad, because oftentimes they're the ones that lead family discipleship in the home because they spark it with mom and dad and say, didn't pastor say this in the sermon on Sunday? What do you think about that, dad? And dad's busted as he says, oh, I'm not doing that, but the kid asked, so I better answer it. That's often how it grows. So getting the shift in mindset so everything that you do in the congregation goes into the home. That's the biggest thing.
I have two questions, so bear with me, okay? My first question is, just as director of CCF, how would you encourage then families, individual families, to do just one thing to help them grow in faith?
Great follow-up question, even better than Andy's. This is...
All right, thank you.
You win, you got the gold star today.
Because it is getting it into the home. And so you're reinforcing what I said. Yes, we can talk about what the congregation can do, but man, I don't know if you can hear the thunder, but God's answering right now, and he's saying, good question, Stephanie. Just thunder to
hear. I hear that all the time, by the way.
But that question just opens the door to what can you do in your family? If every household, whether you're single or parents with kids or a couple without kids in the home, if every household would spend 15 minutes a day in God's Word, sincerely reading that, thinking about it, pondering it, and asking, how does this apply to my life today? If they all did that, it would change our families. Just 15 minutes a day, but every day, habitually. And it means not just, okay, I read it real quick. Instead, to think about it, talk about it. Talk about it with your own family and your household. If you're a single person, jump on the phone to your grandkids or on a FaceTime with them and say, hey, I just read this in the Bible today. What do you guys think about this? Or what does it mean to you? Just to talk about it and apply it to life. If every family just tried to do that, even 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes every day, and use resources that are there to help it. There's lots of stuff to help you with it. The congregation can supply you with that. So Andy's question is not a bad one, because when a congregation's supporting this, they'll provide you resources that you can take into your home to support this. I have a book coming out this fall from CPH that'll support this. There's lots of sources of stuff out there that will help you to think about this and practice it every day in the home.
So now, taking off your CCF director cap and even your pastor cap, and maybe just going to your husband and dad hats, what are things that you've learned over the years, trying to glean wisdom from people who are further along in this than I am? What are things that you've learned over the years that have made all the difference to your children as they've grown?
I think the one thing that I've learned most through my years is when Christians live their faith with authenticity and integrity every day, 24/7, means more than anything else in our faith in this world, because children will see that, and they will catch it. My parents, what I admire most about my parents was their commitment of faith in this way. My dad cared for my mom through 10 years of battling cancer, 300 plus radiation treatments. My dad loved my mom sacrificially, unconditionally, and incarnationally throughout all those years that she was battling cancer, and right up to the end when dad and I were with mom on the night she breathed her last breath in our home. We brought my mom, we had the privilege, and my children, who were 4 and 6 years old at the time, were able to sit with grandma as she was in her final days, and they heard her speak of her faith and her lack of fear about dying, and that influenced my kids so much that we had the privilege to bring mom into our home and to take care of her in her last days in this world, knowing we would be with her in the days to come in the Lord's new kingdom. That was awesome. So we lived it, and I saw it, and everyone that I talked to says the same thing. Their children admire those who live their faith with integrity and authenticity, starting with the pastor in the church, if he's not just preaching it from the pulpit, but he's living it in his own home, with other church workers, with friends and family, relatives that they look up to, that authenticity and integrity every day, 24/7, into the Word of God and living it.
I like what you said there, Todd, because it's not, you didn't say perfection.
No, never.
Doesn't mean perfection, but it means, hey, even when you mess up, you're being authentic with that, and you're owning up to that, and you're asking for forgiveness and receiving that from your family and from the Lord. So, yeah, I really appreciate that answer.
And, you know, I appreciate hearing from people who are further along in this marriage and parenting journey than I am, because when I feel as if I'm in it, kind of in the thick of it, so is Andy probably feeling that too. But it's hard to pause. It's good to pause, to ask yourself as a family, how should we be living as a Christian home? What should our schedules look like? What should our routines be? Because if you don't pause to evaluate, assess, and ask yourself those questions, life instead will dictate what happens. And so there's intentionality that has to happen. And my husband also says this, and he's a pastor. He says this to our congregation. I completely agree. Christian families need to be good weird. Your children should recognize, like, hey, we're a little different, you know, and mm-hmm. people around should recognize they're
holy.
They're a little different, but in a good way. Be good mm-hmm. weird. Your life shouldn't necessarily model how the rest of the world is caring about their homes and their families and their schedules. Evaluate that and ask, is this the destination? Are we on track for the destination mm-hmm. we want?
Yeah, absolutely. Live as holy people in a sinful world. We love the world, but we're not of the world. And so our life should reflect that. People everywhere I go talk about how stressed they are. They're overwhelmed. They have no time. That's a choice we make. We allow the world to take us in that direction or not. We can all slow down and say, nothing is as important as my faith in Christ. And secondly, nothing else is as important as taking care of my family relationships to help them grow in Christ. And if I don't slow down enough to focus on those things, then I'm not slowing down enough. So I need to step back and say, I'm not in this world. I have to be holy, set apart. And I'll make the time for those things, because everything else will disappear, but those will remain. My faith in Christ and my loved ones who share that faith in Christ will be with me forever too.
Dr. Bierman, thank you so much for joining Andy and I and for sharing with our listeners the wealth of knowledge that you have, your wisdom, and also the information about CCF. And again, we'll link that in our show notes.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. It's been a joy being with you. And I am so thankful for my partnership with Andy and those at the LCMS Office of National Missions, doing some fantastic things to support family discipleship there. And I know that as we all in our synod partner together more and more, together with our university system, we're going to raise up church workers who understand these concepts, and we're going to equip families who are living out these concepts every day, 24/7, to life eternal with the Lord. Thank you.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at LCMS Life. And finally, listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you have an idea about a guest you'd like to hear from or a topic you want talked about? Email us at friendsforlife@lcms.org. We want to hear from you about what you want to hear about when it comes to issues of life.
Thanks for joining us. Friends for Life is a podcast that discusses the life God has given and the people He has called you to serve, right where you are, in God's mission.